Welcome to That Geek Pod. I'm Catherine, and today I've got Dom from Star Wars Underworld, or Underground.
Either or. I've gotten used to it, so I answer to both at this point. It is technically Underworld, but you know, when somebody says Underground to me, I used to correct people, and if it's somebody I know, I might correct them and give them a hard time, but usually I just roll with it.
Yeah, I know it's Underworld, but that's it's Steele's joke, and it's got to keep going.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
So how are you going?
I'm doing good. It's been a good like Star Wars-y week, and like just like a good like pop culture week. Like it started with the Acolyte trailer, and then you follow that up with all of those House of the Dragon trailers, and then today Doctor Who dropped a trailer. It's just, I don't know why all of these studios decided, hey, this week's a good week to just to promote everything after not promoting anything for a while. But I'm also here for it. Like all of them are great. I'm excited for all of them. And thankfully, even if all the trailers come out at the same time, they themselves, I don't think, are actually coming out at the same time. There's a bit of crossover, but not too much.
Yeah, it's fairly well like spread somewhat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this week, you're right, there's been a lot coming out this week. So within about a 12-hour span, I had the winner of Australian Survivor announced. I know you don't care, but it was very, very important and it was very, very good.
Nice.
Then, Acolyte trailer, Furiosa trailer, like just a lot coming up at me. And then it's like, okay, now I have to go to work. Because that's the thing.
How are you supposed to focus when these things are there?
You wake up and, okay, you go, all right, all this stuff has happened. You go watch it all and go, okay, now I've got to go and face the world. It's a very odd time when trailers drop overnight.
Mm. Yeah, see, for me, they drop during the day. So, like, I'm at work and I'm not really in a position where I can, like, stop and watch them all the time. Mm. Like I could quickly check Instagram or quickly check Twitter, but like I can't like spend 2.5 minutes going, ooh, look at what's happening with the Acolyte. So like I can see that like stuff has happened and there's interesting things that I'm like, I want to know more. I want to see the whole thing, but I have to wait until, you know, 11:30 for it to be able to step aside for a little bit and actually watch these things in their entirety.
Yeah, I know the feeling. So yesterday I was taking the role because, yes, I'm a teacher, and the role marking system was down or whatever. But anyway, I was having to do it on my phone, literally marking the role. So we're in the first minute or two of class, and then popping up on my phone was from our group chat going, oh, celebration tickets have gone on sale. And I'm like, focus. Focus, focus. And then I'm having to put my phone in my pocket and then just for the rest of the class, just feeling it buzz.
Yeah. And knowing celebration plans are being made.
Yep. Meanwhile, I'm teaching about three mean median smoothing, mean time smoothing for time series. I'm sure you all are fascinated by this.
I don't even know what that is. You're like, do I explain it or do I just let this slide? I think you can let it slide. I don't want to put you back into your work mindset.
I have PDFs. I have videos from remote learning. But yeah, so you were at Toronto Comic Con though about a week ago, weren't you?
Yes. We had Toronto Comic Con, one of the sort of, there's two big sort of Comic Con-esque events that happen in Toronto. They're both run by the same company. There's the big one at the end of the summer called Fan Expo Canada, which is sort of our answer to San Diego Comic Con or New York Comic Con. And then there's Toronto Comic Con, which we do in the spring every year in March for March break when the kids are out of school. And it has grown in the last few years because it used to be like a small little convention and now it's basically just a mini version of Fan Expo, and it's not so many anymore. It's sort of like 50% of the size where it used to be 20% of the size. And it's run by the same company, the company Fan Expo, which of course runs a bunch of conventions around the US. So they get all of their big stars to come out, their roster of celebrities that they roll through these things. So, you know, Iman Esfandi and Diana Lee Inosanto from Ahsoka were there, as was Dennis Lawson from from, you know, the original trilogy. And then there were like a bunch of other stars from like The Flash and the new X-Men animated series. So it no longer feels like the cute little like fun hey con that it used to be. And now it's like, oh no, this is just Fan Expo, but in March and with slightly less space.
Cool. Now you got to host a couple of panels. That's so cool. How was that?
Yeah, that was something that was kind of unexpected. It shouldn't have been unexpected in the sense that I applied to host them. I just didn't think, and previous experience had led me to believe I wouldn't get the opportunity to do that. I've been going to like conventions like Fan Expo and Toronto Comic Con and Celebration and, you know, all those for like 10 years now. And it didn't occur to me until like 2 years ago, hey, you do a podcast, you talk about things, you could be part of this. You could do a panel or you could be part of these things. And it was a friend of mine who originally suggested and wanted to and applied to do a panel about 2 years ago, and we got it and it was really exciting. And then I got COVID and couldn't go. And so I was there like sadly on Zoom on a phone, sort of trying to offer moral support to everybody while doing it. And then for this year, I just thought, oh, let's try, let's apply. And I had no thought of, and I'd applied again the previous year and not gotten anything. And this year I thought, oh, let's apply and let's see where we wind up, not expecting anything. And then out of the blue, I got an email that said, hey, we've approved your panels. Here are the dates and times. And I went, oh, okay. So I actually have to do something with this now. It's no longer just this like weird little pipe dream of like, oh, wouldn't it be fun if it's now it's real. It's on the schedule. You gotta figure this out. So it was really, really cool though. The panels I think went really well. The first one I did two. One was called Intro to Star Wars Publishing.
Yeah.
Which where we mainly talked about novels, but we touched on the comics as well and just sort of talked to people about if you wanted to start reading Star Wars books, because there's so many of them, where could you start? And that panel was a lot of fun because we had Claudia Gray on it. She's a Star Wars author.
Amazing.
Written some of the best Star Wars books out there. And she came and she offered some just like amazing insight into what it takes to write a Star Wars book, her history with Star Wars books, and just like the process and the interaction between the publishing arm of things and the on-screen media production side of things. And so that was really, really fun. It was like one of the first panels in the on the convention schedule, so it was like first thing on the first day. So somebody asked me, oh, who's the big competition, what are you up against? I'm like, the big competition is arriving at the show. Like there's nothing that's our competition. And you know, whenever you do something like this, at least for me, I'm always panicked that like nobody's going to show up. It's going to be an empty room. It's going to be sad. It's going to be pathetic. And so my hope for the audience was that it won't be sad. And it wasn't. A lot of people showed up. A lot of people came out. And it was a really engaged and excited audience that really wanted to hear from Claudia, wanted to hear from my other panelists, Matt and Ash. And we had a great conversation and a great, I think, was a really fun, interesting discussion. We talked a lot of High Republic, not knowing that we were like 48 hours away from the Acolyte trailer. I guess at that point, more like 4 days. But like, you know, we were like really close to getting that. We were just like, yeah, High Republic's awesome. The books are great. Everybody should read them. And of course, Claudia had written a bunch of them, so she could talk a little bit about, that process. So that was like Friday morning. And then I went the entire rest of the con, basically, until 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon when my other panel was. So they're like, you get to start the convention and end the convention. And there's no like, you know, I was nervous and, you know, like feeling the nerves and the jitters going into that first one. And so I would think like, oh, it's over. I can now relax and enjoy the con, except I can't because the other one is still 2 days away now. And I got to make sure that one works out. And thankfully it did. That one was celebrating Star Wars was what we called it. And it was just a fun Star Wars conversation. And I put together this panel of Star Wars fans. We had Isaac, who's IZ Cosplay on the various social medias. We had Kevin, who hosts a YouTube series called Toying Around, where they review and unbox toys. And we had Alicia, who's a cosplayer, does Padme cosplay. She's at the.naboo.senator on social media. And I'd met Isaac before, and I think Alicia had met Isaac before, but otherwise the rest of us were meeting for the first time basically 5 minutes before the convention, before the panel. But everybody was game to do it, and it wound up being like there was like instant chemistry between the panel, and it was a really fun discussion. There was great back and forth, all like being respectful and courteous towards one another, but still having some fun and going back and forth on things. Isaac spent a good portion of the panel talking about his love for The Last Jedi. And then as soon as he got to the end of that, Alicia and Kevin both go, yeah, we didn't really care for that one. And they start, you know, needling him just a little bit, so what do you think about this part of the movie? And we had some good laughs and some fun with that. But then that also allowed, you know, us to talk about loving something even when you're told you shouldn't be a fan of it. But also the fact that, you know, reasonable people can disagree about stuff. And it just sort of was like, it was like an encapsulation of like what the best Star Wars fandom can be. And I don't mean to say that to put ourselves above anybody else, but just like, this is what Star Wars conversation should be like. People should have different opinions. They should agree and disagree, and they should share why they think that, but it should always be with that sense of fun that we're talking about space wizards and pirates and you know, Mandalorians and all this stuff. Like it's not that serious. We don't have to turn everything into these like vicious debates that you see, surrounding the Acolyte trailer, where people are getting really mad about stuff and telling each other they're bad fans because, you know, you're unhappy with the direction of something. Yeah. And so we had a really fun conversation, and that one, like, I was stunned. It was basically a full house. People just came out just to see us talk about Star Wars. There was no, we didn't get, any of the celebrities from the convention to be on the panel. It was just like, here, we're going to have four fans just chat about Star Wars and have a good time. And it seemed like everybody who came out enjoyed it and had a lot of fun. So it was a surreal kind of experience to be up there and be part of that. But I'm very, very happy with it and really, really enjoyed it.
Fantastic. That sounds like a great time. But yeah, the book ending, I can feel that the nerves just not going away. You never have that sense of, oh, it's over till.
Yeah. So like the first one's done and it's gone great. And that's the one where we had, we had a star, we had Claudia be on with us. And so like that one's done. I'm like, okay. Can kind of enjoy Friday and not worry about things. But like Saturday, Saturday night at a con, there's opportunities to go out and celebrate outside of the convention. And, I'm doing that. And I'm like, okay, I got to be careful here. I can't go full last night of celebration insane. I got to like keep it reined in. And like we basically wound up at like a anime themed like dance party. And I'm like, I don't know anything about anime. I'm a terrible dancer, but there's lots of beer. So like, I don't know what two out of three of those things are really about, but one of them I know something about. So I was like, but like every sip I took, I'm like, we're getting one step closer to having a headache during the panel. So you better be careful, better be reasonable. So it did put like a little bit of a interesting, an interesting bookend. But thankfully, also on Sunday was the like big Ahsoka Q&A. With the two actors. Okay. So it was like, okay, I can just sort of focus on that and enjoy that. And that takes, it takes an hour out of my concern of just enjoying it. And also the lining up for it and everything. It's like, okay, I'm not going to be wandering around the convention just watching time tick down until the panel. I'm like, I have something else to look forward to fill in the slot.
Yeah. Conventions, because obviously have been Celebration. We've had some Comic-Con like things here in Melbourne, but they're not they're not huge. They are getting a little bit bigger because mm-hmm. there's more sort of Australian actors or things filming in Australia. But, yeah, there can be a lot of time between. We'll still hold out hope that we can have a convention, a celebration here in Australia.
Mm.
We've got the space. Just, I know, we're a long way away from people.
Yeah, but so is Japan. So is Japan. Like, it's about the same. Like for me, like it's not the same. But like to travel there, like it's close enough that like if I'm going all the way to Japan for a celebration, it wouldn't be like I'd look at them and be like, ah, Melbourne, Sydney, too far. No. Tokyo though, Tokyo's fine.
Yeah, it is something very much look forward to. But before we leave, you know, Toronto Comic Con. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many things get filmed in Canada, like Vancouver and Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a lot of actors up there, you know, talking about things or production crews?
It's something that I wish that local cons would do a bit more of, is involve the local crews. Sometimes, like, so a lot of the Star Trek shows are shot in Toronto. They're shot at Pinewood Studios, Toronto. So, like, the actors from those shows tend to show up, like the big stars tend to show up because it's easy for them. Like that's just, it's a weekend gig for them. They could go out, make a bunch of money, signing autographs, taking pictures, answering questions for an hour. So like the last couple of fan expos and Toronto Comic Cons have had a significant presence from the cast, specifically of Strange New Worlds lately. I've noticed like Christina yeah. Chong was at this one. So was Ethan Peck, I think, who plays Spock.
Yes.
I think, yeah, like those guys were there. Anson Mount was at Fan Expo last summer. So like,
oh, Captain Pike, let me just fan myself for a moment.
So you get the big stars there, it's easier for them to come out. And like when the Arrowverse shows were shooting out in Vancouver, I know they would show up a lot at the Vancouver and Edmonton and Calgary sort of more west coast of Canada based conventions because it's easier for them to do that. But like, yeah, I think it'd be fun for them to incorporate like the local stars that come in for like as a guest role or the local crew, like just like, hey, what's it like to be working on Star Trek, or using Star Trek as the example because that's close by, but any of these shows that are shot here. Orphan Black would always have a big presence when it was on because it's shot here. Mm. Someone like this is just me wish casting at this point, but like Deborah Chow, who directed the Obi-Wan Kenobi show and several episodes of Mandalorian, she's from Toronto. I think she lives in the city. I don't know for sure. She may well be based out of Hollywood now. But like that'd be somebody who would be really cool to get out to Fan Expo or to Toronto Comic Con and have her do a 1 hour Q&A. She did a Q&A with Hayden Christensen for the finale of Obi-Wan Kenobi. They did that here at a movie theater, you know, 2 years ago. The day the finale dropped on Disney Plus, they also did a marathon screening of the entire series.
Wow.
At the theater in Toronto, and Deborah and Hayden were there. They introduced the episodes, then they went away for a bit, and they showed the six episodes, and then they came out and did a not so much a Q&A as they were interviewed live on stage in front of everybody, and then that was beamed out to other cinemas in Canada and I think mm-hmm. the US as well. But yeah. It was really cool. That was fun because I saw Hayden Christensen sneak into the audience to watch the last episode. At the end, the episode ends, the credits are rolling, everybody's clapping, and I look to my side, I look off to the side, and I see somebody running down the stairs followed by two burly guys in suits. And I'm like, I think that's Hayden. I didn't think he wanted to see the episode.
Well, he would.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, so that episode and the episode 5, so they showed here in the IMAX in Melbourne.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Disney decided to do it. And of course it drops. Well, Disney Plus shows used to drop at a great time for us, the live shows.
Bad Batch is still dropping at that time, right?
Yes. Bad Batch.
That's where they're throwing you a bone.
They're throwing us a bone. It is strange though that they changed it for Ahsoka and it was a bit of, oh, okay, this is what it's going to be now. Mm-hmm. Then they moved it back for Bad Batch.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, yeah, it's looking like Acolyte is that.
This is the Ahsoka U.S. Yeah. primetime kind of. Yeah, I know on SWU, Hannah, like when I was ranting and raving about why are they dropping these episodes at 3 a.m. for me? Blah, blah, blah. Hannah was just sort of off to the side going, hey, yeah, sure, that really sucks for you.
Yep. Yeah, we were just basking out 7 p.m. Perfect drop time. Look, for Andor, that was an amazing time because I could watch it, and sometimes I'd get partway through a second watch by about 8 o'clock when Josh Chapman of Star Wars Belt Out would go, yep, let's record, and I could jump on. And with that, we could record our thoughts pretty quick afterwards and have them up pretty quick afterwards. But, yeah, it was the idea now that it would drop at, I mean, depending on daylight savings, blah, 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 but basically 11 or 12 o'clock, middle of the day. Mm. So I'd be at work and there's people in the world watching Andor and I'm at work.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I'm not one of those people who can watch stuff at work. I just can't do it.
No, you want to watch it. You want to watch it right. You want to have the like proper experience. Yeah. Like for Bad Batch this season, because it drops at 3 a.m. and I'm so not a morning person that like I've thought, oh, I could get up and watch it before I have to go anywhere. And the one time I tried that for one of the other shows, it was like it just isn't happening. It just isn't happening. I that's not how my body likes to function in the morning. We're not ready for Star Wars. And so like other times, you know, like it was great. This is a rare statement. It was great during the pandemic, but during lockdowns and stuff, when it didn't have to be anywhere, I'd stay up till 3 and I'd watch Book of Boba, I'd watch Mando season 2 and that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, I think starting with Obi-Wan Kenobi, it was like, oh no, there's going to be days where you're going to have to go all day. Just like you're saying, knowing people have seen this. And you haven't. And, you know, I'm not someone who gets really worked up about spoilers. If I see a spoiler online, I don't get really upset about it. But, like, just knowing that, like, just feeling like I'm behind and like, feeling like I'm not part of the discussion. And so at that part where I'm like, okay, I just got to make it through. Got to make it through the day. Got to make it through the day. There was one Book of Boba episode where I was like, I can't stay up for this. I can't stay up for this. I got to be up the next day. And I just couldn't sleep. And so it rolled around to 3 a.m. and I just pulled out my phone. And I'm like, I'm just gonna like watch the previously on.
Yeah.
Just gonna watch the previously on and see like, what are they teasing in this? And I watched the previously on and I'm like, well, I could watch the first 5 minutes. I could watch the first 5 minutes. And then next thing you know, 35 minutes later, I'm in bed watching it on my phone going, you know, I prefer the cinema experience in general. But this was pretty comfy.
Yeah, that staying in bed and watching it, yeah, that's sounding pretty good. But, you know, it's like when I'm telling students to get their headphones out of their ear.
Yeah.
Don't watch YouTube during class. I've literally said, look, I'd like to be watching TV and listening to podcasts as well, but no.
You're like, you guys don't understand. There's this show called Andor. And people are watching it. And I'm not. So just put the phone away.
I don't think you understand the importance. The notifications. So the morning, I know I've told this story before, but when they announced that they were even doing Andor, I got to work and I sort of glanced, getting in my car, glanced at my phone, went, oh, that's a lot of Twitter notifications. Walked into my office, blah, la 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 la, sitting down, sitting up, go, okay, I'll just check what this is about. What the hell? And just losing my mind in my office, looking around going, no one will understand. No one will understand. But, yeah, it can be drop those drop times. I mean,
I think you've got to like find ways to build your lesson plans around these episodes. There's got to be something you can incorporate. There's got to be a way. If I don't know how, but I'm sure we could think of it.
It's rough. Like the when Mandalorian started, for whatever reason, Disney Plus began here 3 days later. It was something really weird. Like it starting in America on the Thursday or Friday, started here on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And of course, Disney Plus in America started with the first episode of Mando.
Mm-hmm.
And we got it a few days later. So Baby Yoda was spoiled for us.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Because even though you mute the hashtags, people were misspelling things. You had to mute the misspellings, but or people just weren't hashtagging things, and you just get photos of it all the time. So it's that, and then you get told, "Well, don't go on social media." It's like it's days.
yeah, that's one thing. If it's like, hey, stay off social media for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
That's one thing. It's a whole other thing when it's days. And that's, and like, I'm like, I can't even fault the people who are posting it because they're excited about it. That's where the issue is with Disney or whoever made that decision or whatever forces were behind that decision to keep the episodes or to keep the launch off by 3 days. And like, there are other parts of the world where it just straight up wasn't available for months.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like you guys aren't really like protecting anything. Like, you know, if you can't have Disney Plus launched in these other parts of the world, like sell the rights to the first season, you know, rent them out. Somebody's going to want some, these local broadcast networks are going to want to show it.
Yeah.
And they'll pay through the nose even for like a limited run at the rights. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. If people want to watch something, make it available for them to watch. It's the same thing with them taking stuff off of the streaming services now. Yeah. Which is a thing that drives me insane, because I focus it on Willow because I really enjoyed that show, and but like the principle of it is bonkers to me as well.
Yeah, like Willow, I didn't think it was the best thing ever, but I was like, sure, yeah, this is quite good. And I was looking forward to the very much teased second season.
Yeah.
And then for them to go, okay, it's cancelled, you go, all right. But then to pull it, you go, oh, God. But yeah. At least we got to watch that. Like that whole, you know, was it Acme versus Wild Coyote? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That they're just going to delete it? Like, what?
Yeah.
I know it's tax breaks and there must be something there, but it just doesn't make any sense.
Are they really like going to like completely delete it? This is not going to be a hard drive hidden away in a vault somewhere that's got this movie on it. Like it doesn't make any sense. None of it's one of those things where the raw, like, obviously, look, these big studios, they're out to make money. That's fair. Like, that's how the world works, whatever. But like, you've so lost sight of what your business is supposed to be when it's not, hey, let's make something that people will really like and then pay us to see it.
Yeah.
It's, we've made this thing. We're not even going to give people a chance to see it and say we liked it or we didn't. We've realized we can make more money by not showing it is just bonkers. It's just backwards. And yeah, Yeah, and you're right. Like, yeah, at least we got to see Willow and have the fun with that show and other shows like it on Disney and other places. But to then like take that away, because you're like, oh, I'd like to watch that show. That would be fun to just watch, like even just rewatch season one. I mean, how many times have people rewatched Firefly? That's a show that had one season over 20 years ago, and people still love it and talk about it because the episodes were available. And there's a whole like fandom built up around it, and you know, other merch that gets made and sold, and they can make money other ways with it. You know, not saying Willow would be that, but you know, it could be people, yeah. If people find that first season and go, hey, that's cool. I want to get some t-shirts, or I want to get some trading cards or action figures or whatever. It just feels backwards.
Yeah. I read an article about how movies that didn't do well in the cinemas, they used to be able to make money back through video or DVD rentals, and it would then become, you know, a cult classic or a bit of a sleepy hit. So many of those smaller movies could just keep generating revenue that way. But now if you're not making the bank at the cinemas, it just seems...
Yeah. That's one of those things where, you know, all those studio heads got, when they're like, who did this, just take a good look in the mirror, because you know that's what killed video stores, and you know, people can't rent a movie really anymore. You're signing up for Netflix, and the good thing as a consumer about Netflix is it's one price and then you get to watch everything, but that one price doesn't cover everything. You know, you're spending, you know, even if you take that like original $7 a month that Netflix used to cost, which doesn't cost that anymore, but if you take that, like, you know, that would be the equivalent of, you know, three or four movies at a, you know, at a video store. So like
like it used to be that sort of proposition of, okay, this is how much you used to spend each week renting videos or DVDs. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's now equivalent to what you're spending on streaming services. Now you're spending far more on streaming services than what you probably ever did. I mean, don't get me wrong, streaming services, it's so convenient.
Oh yeah, it so is. And like, and then there's so much good stuff, but it, you know, it's that there's a cost that comes with everything, and the cost is sometimes more than the literal, like, here's my credit card, charge the amount. There's also it's reshaped the industry in a way that I think people weren't expecting, and you know, it doesn't seem to be for the best, but you know, these things take time and tend to balance out, so we'll see.
Yeah, so as part of that, Disney no longer sell physical media in Australia. So the Mandalorian issues will, I haven't got them yet. I know Turbo's got them. Have to get the UK releases through like Amazon. And I haven't been able to pre-order an Andor as yet. So, yeah, it's frustrating that it's just straight up not available for sale to even have that option. I'm hoping that now they've got a deal with Sony for physical releases, maybe that will change, but yeah, who knows? It's just one of these things. Yeah. And we have to get the UK release because of the systems, you know, we can't play the US one. Yeah.
Fun times. Again, that's another one of those things. I'm like, who thought this was a good idea? Who decided that certain discs wouldn't play in certain parts of the world? Like what a ridiculous idea.
Yeah, the many, many systems. I think Blu-rays aren't quite as bad as like DVDs and VHSs. Like that, they were a nightmare. But it's annoying because it's this Disney, I want to give you money. I will give you lots of money. Take my money, please. But no.
No,
it's not there. But yeah, speaking of giving Disney money, they announced about 24 hours ago that tickets were going on sale for Star Wars Celebration Japan.
Yeah. That's exciting. That's exciting. I haven't dared to look at what they cost yet, but I know that when they go up on sale, I'll be in that queue with that annoying little green man going along.
That walking man?
Yeah.
I got to explain to people at work about the walking man yesterday. I think they're not too bad, but yeah, the Jedi package, you know, the Jedi Master package, that's looking like a bit under $1,000. So it's like,
I always look at that and I always think that would be so nice. It's the guaranteed access to the celebration stage that really gets me. That makes me think that if I had the money to spend on that, I would that would be something I would prioritize. But yeah, $1,000 is, that's not something I'm going to do right now.
No, not when with everything going up in price, but yeah, it's looking heaps of fun, and I'm hoping that a lot of people do come and fly to the other side of the world. But you know, people say, "Oh no, it's another international one in a row." It's like, dude, they've all been international.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're like, and same for me. They're all international. There hasn't been one in Canada, so I've traveled to all of these things. I wonder. I have some suspicions about the reasoning behind that. That we don't have to go into, that revolves around other stuff going on in the real world.
Yeah.
I think it's exciting. I think Celebration should move around. For a minute there, it looked like it was just going to bounce between Anaheim and Orlando, which has its benefits. Like, you know, those are big touristy destinations. They have the facilities there that generally can hold a celebration. I think Orlando needs to plan Orlando differently than they did the last time in terms of utilizing that space to the best of its abilities. It seemed like for a minute, like those were going to be the places. And then they surprised us with Chicago being thrown in there. I'm like, okay, even if it's just bouncing around the States, that's better. And then we had London and now Japan and keep it bouncing around. I know because Lucasfilm's an American company, Disney's an American company, it's probably easier for them to do stuff in the States, and it's probably easiest for them to do stuff in Anaheim or Los Angeles and places like that are nearby. And so I suspect that's where we'll have not a majority, but a plurality of the celebrations will be in Anaheim or that sort of area, that part of the U.S. But I like the idea of them bouncing it around and taking it to Japan, bring it to Australia, bring it to Canada. Why not take it to other parts of Europe? And again, other parts in the U.S. I think one of the best run celebrations was the Chicago one. I think that one, they had a really good facility. And none of these things are ever perfect. There's always going to be problems. I'm sure there's somebody going, "That was the worst one." and they based on their experience, it may well have been. For me, I look back at Celebration Chicago and go, like, if I could recapture that in terms of the space, the venue, the sort of the lineup of guests and the announcements that were made, I'd look to do that.
Yeah. That one was my first. So, everything was so special for me, but you're right. I mean, massive announcements, Rise of Skywalker trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, the big negative about it was, being an Australian, the weather, snow day.
So even being a Canadian, I was not fully prepared for that. I had my nice winter coat that I'd brought with me because it was still kind of cool when I left. And I wore it the first day to the convention and left it in the stage where Rise of Skywalker panel had happened. And I like, as soon as I realized it was gone, I like made a beeline to the Lost and Found. They're like, it hasn't shown up yet, but it'll probably show up later. And then like, then I got into the flow of the weekend and I'm like, this is fine. This weekend's good. It's great. I'm having a ball. I'll get my coat when I get it. And then Sunday rolls around and it snowed. And the other thing I wasn't prepared for was I didn't have the right shoes. I had just like running shoes that were very breathable on the bottom, which I thought was a good thing, so my feet wouldn't be too terrible. But it meant snow or melted water could go right up into the bottom of my feet. So I embraced my inner Mo Sizzlak from The Simpsons and was wearing plastic bags in my shoes. And that didn't work. I genuinely bought new socks at the convention. I bought new like Star Wars socks and just put them on. We thankfully had the Star Wars Underworld had a booth, and so I could like sort of hide there and like subtly change my socks. But yeah, it was tough. I was like, yeah, I was layering up and I had like a hoodie and my Toronto Maple Leafs jersey because the Leafs were in the playoffs that year and stuff. So I was like all like bundled up. So I'm like, I'm okay on the warmth front. It's the shoes that have really screwed me up. And I would be better on the warmth front if I hadn't lost my coat or if I'd made the effort to go back and get it. And when I went back and got it on the last day, some people were kind of roasting me behind me at the Lost and Found. Like, oh, I bet you would wish you had that yesterday. And even the guy at the Lost and Found got in on it because he's like, yeah, it's been here since Friday. I'm like, you bastard.
Yeah. Yeah, that snow day, like every other day we'd got the training. Snow day were like Uber.
Uber.
Yeah.
Celebration Chicago. What a time.
What a time, yeah. And then Anaheim, the weather. Can I just the weather was so nice.
It was. Yeah. That was that's like one of the benefits of doing it in Anaheim is, you know, you get that California weather that is pretty good. It's pretty good. Chicago, yeah. If you're doing it in Chicago, you should do it in the summer. don't do it in the early spring when there's still a risk of it snowing like that. Also, apologies to everybody who just listened to that weird story about my feet. I wasn't intending to tell that story, but you started talking about the snow day. I'm like, hey, I remember that. Here's how you know it's a good podcast. I'm just having a conversation. I can tell this weird story. Other people won't hear this.
So, like my three listeners, they won't mind. the conventions, like, so Chicago brought in the panel lottery.
Yes.
So that's all I've experienced. Mm-hmm. Do you think that'll hang around for Japan? Do you think that's just there now?
I think that's just there now. They brought that in because the Orlando lines, the previous celebration before Chicago, were so horrifically mismanaged. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, having that many people line up. So I'm not without sympathy for it, but they made several decisions that just left that set themselves up to fail. First and foremost, which was the biggest one being that the room, the celebration stage where these things were happening was not big enough for enough people to get into. The Anaheim room was, I think, 5,000 or 6,000 people, or no, it was about 7,000 people. The London room, which felt small this past year, was about 4,000 or 5,000 people. Chicago was about 9,000 people.
Yeah.
The Orlando one was about 2,000 people.
Oh.
So people lined up all night, overnight, two nights in a row, and didn't get into either of the big panels. No. So people were not happy. So the first they did two big panels back to back. There was the 40th anniversary of Star Wars panel on the first day, which George Lucas showed up to and was amazing. It was the first time they did the John Williams reveal and all that stuff. Like, it was really great. And Harrison was there. Like, it was amazing. the second one was the Last Jedi preview, was that was the next day. So going into the 40th anniversary, everybody in that line was like, we're here, we're getting in. Because that's how it had been in London for the previous year for Rogue One, yeah, and how it had been in Anaheim the 2 years before that for The Force Awakens. And then people did not get in. And so the next night, people were tense. They were on edge.
Yeah.
And, you know, where it, you know, these lines had been like a happy, fun, jolly thing, they weren't. And I will always, always, always be grateful to Rian Johnson for coming down. And I don't think he knew he was doing this, but like diffusing that situation. I think he thought that he was just going down there to do a cool, like, hey, I'm going to say hi to everybody. But basically what he did was he made sure everybody in those lines had a cool experience.
Yeah.
So that when they didn't get in, it was like, well, at least we met Rian. At least we had this thing. Yeah. And because he came down, he met just about everybody in the line, and he stayed. For he came down to this line in the middle of the night and he stayed there for hours on end, and security tried to make him leave and he didn't go. Like, I saw them try and like walk him out. Like, now they go to the president, they're like, Mr. President, come on, it's time to go. And they tried to do that to him and he's like, no, I'm staying. And like talking to one of the security guards, the guy's like, yeah, the limo's been waiting for 3 hours. And we're still here. He's still taking pictures and signing with everybody. And I was one of the last people to get to meet him. And you would have thought I was the first from the interaction. Like, he was so like kind and genuine. He took the time to remember your name for the whole like little experience. And he told a little joke and he did a little thing and just he signed your badge and he took a picture and he moved on. Like, he's a genuine, like, whenever people talk about him being a bad guy, I'm like, you've never met this man. You can dislike his movie all you want, fair enough. But him as a person, I think, he's a really genuine, kind, wonderful human being.
Yeah.
But anyways, the point of that was the Orlando needed a bigger stage. And right, so those lines were mismanaged. They also did things like the Anaheim and London lines. You could sort of come and go overnight in Orlando. They like locked everybody in at 12 o'clock. I don't know if it's just because it's Florida and Florida's weird, but you know, like there was that sort of thing. Like they did all sorts of stuff weird. So when they announced the virtual queues for Chicago, I'm like, this isn't perfect either, you know, some people are gonna get shut out, but at the very least you know what you're getting, you know, yeah, what experience you're having. And you know, like, I for London last year, I was shut out. I entered the lotteries for every single day. I didn't get a single thing.
Yeah,
I had nothing. I had to like will my way into some of those panels using like connections and other stuff to like try and get in there. And like And I didn't get into all I didn't. I missed out on like the showcase and the Ahsoka panel and Obi-Wan and stuff. Like, I basically managed to will my way into Bad Batch, and that was about it.
I got into nothing. I was gifted a band for the Mando showing that night. I got into nothing. I lined up for, you know, some of the panels like Andor panel, and the Andor like special effects, all of that, but yeah, I got into nothing. But you know, at least I hadn't stayed up all night.
Exactly.
And then ruined a day.
Yeah,
because then you're not able to enjoy the day.
Fun. Yeah, you're not enjoying the day. Like, I didn't get into these things. I didn't win the lottery. I tried to like do the standby line for the Lucasfilm showcase, the big launch panel. And that is as close to a stampede as I've ever been part of. Cause like, I got there wicked early. They weren't allowing overnight lines. So I got there, you know, it's like 4:30 in the morning, lined up outside, and they're like constantly with these lines, they're constantly moving you from one place to another. And they moved all of us in the standby line from the queue hall, which is just basically a big airplane hangar where they lined you up, to where the actual panel room was, where the big like theater was. And as soon as they like move the rope, people start running. And like, I know shoes were lost. I saw some people take a tumble. Like, I'm not condoning any of this. I don't think people should have done that. What was fun, and what will never not be funny to me, is that they stopped the stampede for a brief period by getting the 501st involved. And they had the 501st basically cut us off and turn it like into like a march, like they were leading a parade. So nobody could pass the stormtroopers. So there's this line of stormtroopers like marching and all of us behind them going, oh yeah, I guess can't push past the stormtroopers. That would be bad. And what's funny to me is there's actually a shot of that in the like weekend recap video that you can watch on stuff. I'm like, you guys know what was happening right before and right after this, right? It was not good. Probably one of the lowest moments of that weekend was this stampede. And here you are celebrating the weekend with this ridiculous shot of the stormtroopers leading this march. But I got to there. I was well positioned. I didn't run. I want to make it very clear. I did not run in the stampede. I just knew how to maneuver and walk quickly.
Yeah.
But I was very well positioned. If people were going to get in, I was going to be among the people to get in. And they just said, no, nobody's getting in. And what I now know I should have done is just gone to the Twin Sun stage or one of the other stages, and where there was apparently plenty of room. But when I got to those stages, there were still big lines outside of them for standby. And I'm like, I'm not getting in another line to be disappointed again. And I went to the food court and basically followed along with the panel on Twitter. And it was awful. The panel itself was great and the reveals were great, but like it was an awful experience and an awful way to start the convention. And I was like, I'd put all this work into it, even knowing that it wasn't likely to happen. So I can only imagine for the people in Orlando who spent all night in those friggin' lines, what the next day must have been like, because they went into it thinking they were going to get in. I went into it thinking maybe there's a chance, but I had to be ready for that reality that it wasn't going to happen. And so that's life. And you do bounce back from it. I bounced back from it, you know, by the afternoon. It was there with friends. You're having a good time. You're at a celebration. How are you going to have a bad time? And one of the things that made it sort of easier was actually the Andor behind the scenes panel.
Yes.
Was one, that panel was just so good. And everybody involved in it was really, really good. And I went and lined up fairly early for that because I'm like, I've already missed out on one panel I want to see. I'm not going to miss out on this one. And I went and I got one of the seats at the back that had like padding on it and you could kind of lean back in it. And like some friends had been further back in line and they're like, oh, we got other seats that are like on the floor in the folding chairs. And I'm like, I'm really comfortable in this seat. I like a good chair. I'm not moving. I had a rough start to this morning. And then at the end of that panel, they showed the teaser for season two that they had shown at the showcase panel. I'm like, okay, there's going to be other opportunities to see stuff this weekend, even if you missed out on it. The Ahsoka panel, I went and did the standby line for one of the other stages and got in there, no problem. And so we got to see the new trailer in there. And then for the High Republic panel, it ended with Leslie Headland coming out and showing that the Acolyte teaser that is different than the one that is out there.
Yes,
it's similar, but it's different.
I wish I went to that panel. Like that was one I was tossing up going to, but I went to the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi. But yeah, the High Republic one. I wish I'd gone to that one because I really enjoyed Phase One of High Republic. Yeah.
Yeah, I almost didn't go because I was kind of behind in High Republic at that point. I think they were like over halfway through Phase Two by that point. And I was still, I'd left the starting gate on Phase Two, but I wasn't up to speed. So I was like, I don't know if I should go. My friend Chris Abbott was going to that one because he's a big book guy, and he's like, we should just go, just come with it, it'll be fun. I'm like, yeah, you're right, that'll be a good time. And we go to it. And I'm just thinking, oh, it's going to be the authors. They're going to talk about the books. It's going to be cool. But the like warm up guy, he's like, when they're showing stuff on the screen, make sure you're not taking pictures of it. And I'm like, that's weird. Because at books panels, I've been to a lot of these over the years. They want you to take pictures of the screen. They want you to like, hey, look at this new cover for this book. Or hey, look at these inside pages from this comic. So either this guy knows something's going to happen, or nobody told him to stop reading that copy. And so I'm like 50-50 on this happening. And then the panel is getting to the end and Christina Ariel goes, okay, that's it for the panel. Nobody leave this room. That's it for the panel. Bye, live stream. Nobody leave this room. I'm like, oh, something's about to happen. And Leslie came out, basically monologued for 10 minutes about how much she loves the High Republic and how important it was to her to tie in her show with it. And then said, oh, by the way, let me show you that trailer again. And I was like, yes, thank you. Okay. We're miss the showcase panel. That's something I'm going to take with me to Japan, which is, even if you miss out on the thing, odds are there's opportunities to see the stuff from the thing again. And so I still haven't seen that skeleton crew footage. That's the only one I haven't seen, because the Ahsoka stuff went online. Acolyte managed to see at the High Republic. Andor saw at the Andor panel. So I still have no idea what's going on with skeleton crew, but hey, I got 3 out of 4. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I haven't seen skeleton crew either. So yes, a lot ahead. Yeah, Japan. What do you think we'll get? 3 days.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? Because like, what's going to be going on by that point? My thinking is, so D23 is coming up later this summer. They should have started filming The Mandalorian and Grogu by that point.
Mm.
That should be in the can. That should be coming up.
Yeah.
That should be filmed. They should be starting to film that. So at D23, sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a second. At D23, they can have like a little teaser of Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni on set going, oh my God, look at this. We're filming this movie. Isn't it sick? Fast forward to May of next year. Most of that movie will be shot.
Yeah.
I'm thinking first teaser trailer. First teaser trailer, something like, not something major, nothing, but like something along the lines of that first teaser for The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Like, well, maybe a little more involved than that, but just, you know, something like that.
Even like that look we had at Mandalorian at Chicago.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Was quite different. Obviously, we didn't see Grogu, but it was just contained and just that scene. And that's one thing with the volume, they don't need to do that much post-production if they can just want to give a snippet.
So
I'm hoping for some Andor, of course.
Yeah, well, and so by that point, you know, Andor, I'm guessing Andor will get the release slot next year that Acolyte has this year, that Kenobi kind of had 2 years ago, which is that sort of early summer kind of release spot. So I suspect Andor will be very much on the horizon when we get to Celebration. So I feel like that'll be a big piece of it. So that's one day. Day one is Mando Grogu. Day two is Andor. I guess actually they don't do it that way anymore. They do it as the showcase. So, but like, I feel like those things will be a big deal. And I think they'll probably want to announce something new. Probably have some new details about some of those movies, maybe some details about Ahsoka season 2, and maybe an announcement about a new show and maybe some animated stuff, whatever's going to succeed Bad Batch. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Some fun announcements. We'll see where we go. It's so far away. It's over a year away. Who the hell knows what we're going to be talking about then?
Dude, the moment they announced Japan, I started going, okay, how much are flights?
We were standing outside the Excel Center looking up how far away it was to get to that convention center in Japan. Going, oh, that's a long ass flight.
Yeah, that's the funny thing for Australians. It's like, oh, that's an 8-hour flight. Piece of piss. Yeah, so there could be a few more Australians there.
Yeah.
As opposed to to London, which is a 20-hour plus.
I was impressed the commitment that was shown to get out there, and that night before Celebration, being at that bar near where Josh Chapman used to live, and like being around all of these Australians in the middle of London was sort of like, okay, I think we found every Aussie at this convention is here. And we were just confusing the locals into thinking we were a cult, which was fun.
We're a very unique cult, very polite.
Very polite. And we all wear our green hats everywhere we go. We worship at the altar of the green hat.
Like, they come in very handy in conventions. You can just look around and go, oh, there's a friend.
Yeah,
there's a friend.
There's someone I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. But,
yeah. The London convention, though, the Excel Center with that food sort of corridor and then those sort of like food areas, that was so well thought out. Whereas it did have a traffic jam down one end.
Yeah.
That was
the one problem, I think, with the organization for London was the it really felt there were a lot of bottlenecks. There were a lot of places where things got clogged up. And that is a huge, that convention center is massive. Again, I think they probably could have utilized the space a little bit more economically and like made better use of it so that we weren't so crammed in there and that there weren't so many bottlenecks, because there were some points there where you're like, oh, I just can't go anywhere. I'd have to keep looking at this booth for another 20 minutes because there's nothing else. There's nowhere else I can go. So the London, the crowds and the size of the main stage, I think, you know, for the future Star Wars Celebration Londons need to be brought into consideration. But we'll see. One thing I'm really excited about D23 this year is that they are doing the big panels. They're not doing them at the convention center. They're actually going to provide a shuttle bus down the road to the Honda Center, which is the arena where the Anaheim Ducks play, which seats about 20,000 people.
Oh my goodness.
It's going to look more like a concert. And to be fair, it's also priced like a concert. You know, you're looking at floor seats for D23 and you're going like, so that's almost the same price as the Eras Tour. And you're like, huh. But it'll be laid out as though it were a fairly sizable concert. So I think that's the way forward for these things. That is an advantage that American places tend to have, is they tend to have either a basketball or a hockey arena like that can be used. But there's going to be other venues like that around the world that can be brought in. So
look, if we ever have to have a convention at the MCG, which fits 100,000 people.
Yes.
Do it, Star Wars. Do it. You want to.
You want to. Yeah, that'd be great. Do the world premiere of Mandalorian and Grogu in the Melbourne Cricket Grounds and just have everybody pile in there. That would be so much fun. All those videos from the Taylor shows out there were a lot. That looked like a wild time. The Taylor Swift shows here are going to be at the Rogers Center. Our baseball stadium that seats about 50,000 people. That's half the size. And like, I've been at concerts there where like I can feel the floor moving, so I can only imagine what 100,000 people at a concert is like. Like, that seems, that it genuinely like sort of boggles my mind.
The MCG is an amazing sporting ground, but it was hilarious in the days before and afterwards. You see on social media Americans genuinely asking, well, what sport do they play there? And of course, Australians being Australians just came in with like badminton. You
know. That was 100,000 people out for the badminton tournament.
Because we will just pull anyone's leg.
Of course.
If it comes to it. And all the people going, well, where do people park their cars? And Melbournians going, well, we get the train there because there's trains.
So much better. I've watched those time lapses of people exiting that, and it's so orderly. And then you go on YouTube and you just see videos of people trying to get out of parking lots in the States, and they're getting into fights and stuff. And like, oof. Wolf Morrell.
Yeah. It's a bit lucky, well, not lucky, but you know, it is where the first sort of sporting ground was. So things grew around it, you know, obviously pre-cars and everything.
Yeah.
And there is areas there for people to park, but in the last few years they've gone, no, just don't.
Yeah.
There are parks around, but it's so accessible. And yeah, they've, they make it accessible for That's people, good. Which is great. Yeah. Yeah. I did joke that when Bad Batch started, it was when Taylor Swift was in Australia.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, we have the good release for Bad Batch, because obviously, you know, Taylor's a big Bad Batcher.
Of course, of course. She really, she's big into Echo. He's her guy. I will, again, I'll shout out my co-host on the Star Wars Underworld, Hannah Rayside. She made some pretty funny TikToks of herself at one of the shows watching Bad Batch episodes, like in the lead up to it. She's in her seats explaining, like, no, on the Bad Batch, this is happening. I saw that. I was like, well played. Well played, Hannah.
Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on, Dom. Now, where can people of the internet find you?
Sure. You can check out the Star Wars Underworld podcast. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We broadcast live on YouTube. You've been on the show. I think you were on one of our Andor episodes a while back, so I think you're due for a return at some point. So you can check that out. And then you can follow me personally, DominicJ25, on Twitter and Instagram, but Instagram is more what I use these days. So pop into Twitter now and again to argue with my co-host Ben Hart. Otherwise I tend to stick to the Instagram.
Yes, that's where you sent me on Star Wars night when you took the photo of Andor merch at Star Trader.
Yeah. I saw that. I'm like, surely she knows about this, but let's just be safe. And then got that message back going, where is that? Where do I go? Where is it? I'm like, Star Trader, hurry.
And then just a photo of me in Star Trader just crying at a t-shirt.
I love that t-shirt. I still wear that t-shirt. It's one of my favorite like Star Wars shirts that I've got. Like, I think it's... you know, it's fairly like, you know, it's just sort of a plain black t-shirt with the Andor thing, but I don't know. They made it cool. I like it a lot.
I picked up a really nice one from the Celebration store last year, actually. The Daughters of Ferrix.
Yeah.
One. It's quite nice. I really like that one.
Nice.
Yeah. So you can find me at That Geek Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Threads. Haven't made a Blue Sky account yet. I'm at Catherine_Neen, still counting down to Andor. Despite everything. Yep. On Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads. Yeah, all the places. Pretty much saying the same thing everywhere I go. Yeah. But yeah, thank you again for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is awesome. Again, that sorry for the feet stories.
All good. That Geek Pod will return.